Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Well, welcome to Time to Love with me, Lydia. I am your lighthouse of love, and I am guiding, teaching, motivating you to loving yourself. That's what I do. At least that's what I hope I do. And today we will be talking about one of my favorite themes, nurturing with nature. Nurturing nature. Nature just nurtures you, doesn't it, though? I don't know if any of you all saw that beautiful honeymoon, full moon last night. If you did, you can call me at 646-727-2914. Maybe you can tell me how it inspired you, what it made you think of. Did you love it? Were you kept awake by it? It felt like a spotlight shining on the earth. It was absolutely amazing. And you all know I live in Boulder, Colorado, and it was a beautiful, clear night. And I had the idea about 10 o'clock at night to go for a full moon hike up in the mountains. We live about maybe 10, 15 minutes from being up in the mountains. So we got the doggies on a leash, and we walked up there in the moonlight. And I was surprised that there were some young people. They were coming down from a hike at 10 o'clock at night. They were looking like they were having a good time. And there were two more people, and then there was no one else. So beautiful. Now, I did take a little light for me to shine on the rocky path because I did not want to trip over any rocks. So I took a little light, but I just had it facing downwards. But when we were on a large path with the moon shining on it, I didn't even need that light. It was absolutely beautiful, and it was, I don't know why they call it exactly the honeymoon, but I know that it was a full moon on the Friday the 13th, and the next time that will happen is a long time from now. I've read two different things that people wrote, but like one I read, I could have sworn was 2049. That's the next time it'll happen. So it was quite something. Did you see it? Did you happen to look up and see it rising? It was a beautiful honey color. Maybe that's why it's called the honeymoon. I'm not really sure, but it was a little hard for me to see. So I went upstairs and got up on the roof and watched it coming up. And then I just was inspired, and I told my husband, let's go for a hike. So luckily, he is up for just about any hike. Whenever I say hike, his ears perk up, just like the doggy's ears perk up. And it was just a beautiful night. We hiked for 2 hours. Yeah. In fact, I have a fancy pedometer now, and it records my steps, and I got the most steps I've ever gotten, 17,000 some odd steps. And it said I walked up 606 stairs. Yeah, because on the way up to into the mountains, it was all uphill. So I think that's why it recorded it as stairs, 606. Whew. I'm not sure I'll ever beat that again, but it was really, really fun. So one of my favorite minds in the world is Albert Einstein. And he said, this quote, look deep into nature, and then you will understand everything better. Yeah, I believe that. And I believe that when you do look deep into nature, or when you allow yourself to be nurtured with nature, it really helps you to love yourself. And that's what the time to love is all about, loving yourself more. And for me, being in nature gets me in touch with that voice. In fact, I wrote something today, this morning, as I woke up, and it says, spending time in nature clears my head. It restores my balance. It brings me to the quiet inside myself, and then I can listen to it. And when I listen to it, what I connect with is love, love that's within me. Some people can call it a lot of different names. I will call it love, and we'll just settle on that word. Nature just fills me with peace. So now I'm going to talk about how maybe you can nurture with nature. And like I said, if you have any ideas at all or your special way that you connect with nature, please call me at 646-727-2914. And if you're listening on your computer, you could go to the chat room. I know Nina is in there. I don't know if anyone else is. It is a beautiful day. So maybe you're out enjoying nature on this beautiful day, and that's what I hope. But a lot of people listen in the archives, and that's great. You can listen to any of our shows on the archives, and if you're listening, maybe you'll just jot down a few things, and if you ever have a chance to call on a Saturday when I'm live, you can just talk to me about those thoughts that you had. I would appreciate it. So, you know, the easiest way to get out in nature is out your back door in most instances. The garden. Oh, my goodness. Get out in your garden. You know, even if you haven't planted anything for a while, there's things growing in your garden if you ever have planted or the people before you. I remember when we moved into our house 28 years ago, the previous owners planted some beautiful things, like vinca and tulips and, you know, just various beautiful things. And so it was really nice because I have my studio out in my backyard. So I have to go through that backyard and I can look at something in nature just really quickly. And it really helps me. If you have a garden and there's nothing in it, I really, really implore you to plant something. Just getting your hands dirty. Oh, there's nothing. It's a grounding effect. It's, you know, you're working with the ground, you're working with Mother Nature, and it restores you. You know, I don't think you can worry while working in the garden. Now, you might be able to start worrying, but it usually leaves you at some point while working in the garden. And I just love it. And if it doesn't leave you, maybe you can, you know, like really get in there with a shovel and get out your anger or aggressions or worry right working in the garden. I love to watch nature grow. And when you plant a garden, you know, even if you only have a little window box that sits on your back porch of your apartment or inside your window, you can grow herbs in that. You can grow lettuce in it. You can grow a few flowers. But it will really, really help you. It really, it's also good feng shui if you're into that. And just having a growing thing in your home is beautiful and outside your home. So if you don't have a garden, yeah, and many of you don't, and, you know, I don't blame you because if you have a garden, you got to keep a garden up. Some of us choose not to do that, and there might be a point in my life where I choose not to do that. I don't know. I can't see it anywhere in my future, my immediate future, but then I suggest that you take a little walk. Take a walk in your neighborhood. You know, I used to live in Chicago, and I would visit my mom in Chicago. And I would walk through her neighborhood, and even in the apartment buildings, there was nature. They would have a little flower plot, or there would be bushes, or there's trees. You know, last night as we were walking through the neighborhoods on our way home from the mountains, we noticed this one street that was so dark, and then we noticed the trees. They were huge. They were beautiful, and I'm sure they give so much joy to the residents there, and shade, which gives me a lot of joy on a beautiful, hot, sunny day. I love to get under shade and just go, whew, feels so good. And even in the darkness, we could see these beautiful trees gnarled, and the trunks were beautiful, and the canopy that they would lend overhead. Even though we couldn't see the moon through them, it was just, oh, it was really beautiful. It was so peaceful last night. In fact, at one point on our hike, I told my husband, I said, shh. I thought I'd heard something. I thought I actually heard some coyotes howling, and I might have. I don't know. But at the time, I said, shh. We just stood there, and we listened, and there was silence. And it was so beautiful and so peaceful, and it reminded me how many times during the day that my soul yearns for silence. Get away from the TV. Get away from even the radio. Get away from your electronic devices. When I usually work in the garden, I don't bring my phone around. You know, a lot of times I miss phone calls. You know, it's okay if you miss a phone call. You can call them back. Go into the house and you can say, oh, gee, I missed a phone call, and you can call them back. Also, getting away from Facebook. I have many friends on Facebook. I love Facebook, but it's good for me to get away from it. So that's, you know, just FYI. Okay, so on your way through your neighborhood, you can go to a park. Parks are beautiful, and they have a lot of nature. And why do you think that most municipalities, even small towns, have parks? Because they know, people know that nature is important, and it's important for us to have these places to go to. Botanical gardens. Botanical gardens. If you live anywhere near a botanical garden, I really implore you to go. I had the wonderful experience a couple weeks ago of going to the botanical gardens in Denver. And if you're anywhere near Denver or planning a trip to Denver, I want you to know that right now at the Botanical Gardens in Denver is a Chihuly exhibit. And Chihuly is a famous glass artist. And it is a perfect setting for art and nature. It really is. And the glass just lends itself to the plants and even the water. They have glass sculptures that are floating in the ponds that they have. They have some that are stationary, and they have some that are floating, and it's absolutely magnificent. It, even thinking about it or looking at the pictures I took just with my phone, just gives me just a wonderful feeling of awe, of joy. It was absolutely beautiful, and this exhibit, the Chihuly exhibit at the Denver Botanical Gardens, is going on through November. And one thing I want to do, I want to go back with my good camera, and I want to go back and go back later in the day and then see if I can get some evening shots, because they had lighting, and they can light up some of the sculptures. And I just have to see what that looks like. That's going to be beautiful. Maybe, you know, you're not a big walker, but go to the grocery store. Yes, I said go to the grocery store. And there's two places that you can really get a good shot of nature. And one is in the flower department. Yeah, you don't have to buy anything, but you can notice beautiful bouquets of flowers. You can check all of them out. It would take a while in my grocery store. And what's very nice is those flowers are right when you walk in. You can look at it all. Another wonderful place is in the produce aisle. Yes, nature is in your produce aisle in the form of vegetables. And I just love the way they display them. They just look so beautiful. In Colorado, there is a store. It's a Kroger brand store, and it is called King Soopers, and they just do a magnificent job. The very first, they have the organic, and I noticed that the organic used to be a small little area, and now it is half of what is out in the produce. Half of it is organic. Of course, that tickles me to no end. If you heard my show last week, being a love warrior, I'm all about organic. I really love it. So make sure that you do that. Now, if you love the water like I do, you might want to walk to the beach or take a car ride and go to a lake. I grew up in Chicago, as I said, and we always lived within about a mile, a little over a mile from the beach. And as soon as I could go there by myself, I spent a lot of time at the beach. In the summertime, I bet I walked that little over a mile. I walked from my house, my apartment, to the beach, walk all around the beach, and I'd walk home because I was a teenager and I had to change my clothes. And then I'd walk down to the beach and walk all over the beach. And then I'd walk home. And sometimes I'd walk down another time. I mean, I am very used to walking. We never had a car. So I grew up walking or taking public transportation. And I still am a very firm believer of that now. So I love to walk wherever there's water. Where we walked last night, there is a ditch. And there's a creek, too. The ditch is very interesting. It is called Anderson Ditch, and it was built in the late 1800s, and it was for irrigating farms. And I love walking along there. There's beautiful trees that grow there. Sometimes it's funny. I walk with my dogs, and there are ducks, and they get flushed out by the dogs. The dogs don't chase them or anything, but just the dogs walking by, it startles the ducks and they fly away. But sometimes I can sneak up on them. We can all sneak up on them and just watch them swimming along with the little ditch. Then further up on the mountain is a creek. It's called Skunk Creek. And no, I've never seen skunks there, but I have seen all kinds of wildlife by that creek. It's really, really beautiful. The other night we were walking a shorter, not a hike necessarily, but in that same area we were walking, and me and the dogs, and we came out of the trees, and there was a whole herd of deer. And the one deer, I think they have the social order of deers, but from what I've observed, when there's more than one, there's usually, a herd. That night there was, I think, 10 deer. And there was one that stood in the road with her ears, faced towards us and just looking at us, just watching us. And she seemed to telepathically tell the other deer to get more in the open space. They were up against where there's houses. And so all the deers kind of walked over the road, the path, and went over to the open space. And then, but there was one that was being stubborn, but that the lookout deer just stood there, just stood its ground. Like, she was like, I'm not afraid of you, and I will get you. But when that last deer moseyed over, you could tell she was a rebellious young thing, she walked over to the open space. Then the lead deer walked over there too, and then we were able to walk by them. Of course, my one dog, was like, I'm going to fight you. And, the deer just laughed at him. Now, my son and I, we would do this thing. We would walk over in that open space, and I would sing him, we're going on a deer hunt. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. I don't know. It was a book that we read. And so we were over in that area, and there is a grove, a stand of trees, a copse of trees, if you would. And we walked in there, and we startled a buck. He had a huge antler rack on him, and he startled me, and he ran at us, and, I mean, I screamed. My son thought that was so funny, but I don't go in that copse of trees very often. That stayed with me, but we also had a deer charge us once, and I think it was because it was the lookout deer, and it was worried about the dogs, and so it was just kind of telling us to keep away. I'm never afraid of nature in that that same walk that we take. I've seen coyotes. I'm not afraid of coyotes. Of course, my dogs are bigger, and they're usually on leashes, but they live there. That's their place. I've seen bear, and the bear, I usually turn around and we walk the opposite way. I've seen bear up there in the fall time trying to get some fat on their bones for their winter hibernation, and they're looking around for food, and they come down, and most of the neighborhoods in Boulder know this, and they have bear-proof garbage cans, but that's what they're looking for. They're looking for anything to fatten up on. But I'm never afraid of it. It's just I know when to be wary and when to walk away, definitely. We're encroaching on their habitat, nature's habitat. But I think I was talking about the beach, and, you know, water just soothes me. So if you have any kind of water around you, I suggest driving to it, walking to it, taking public transportation to it, and just sitting by it. Maybe bring a notepad, maybe bring a favorite book, and just sit there and read or write and just enjoy nature. I have a garden. It's a community garden. My backyard doesn't have a lot of sun. It has a lot of trees, and I like the trees. I don't want to cut them down because we don't have air conditioning in our house, so they lend a lot of shade to the house, and I often wonder, you know, if I cut down this one tree and then there would be more sun in the backyard, would that be a good thing? It would be more sun on my house. So I don't think that would be a good thing. So I joined a community garden with a friend of mine, and I love going out there. I love going out there. I'm not a morning person, so I choose to go out there a little bit later in the day. If it's cloudy, I might go out there around 5 o'clock, but I sometimes go out 6:30, even 7 o'clock. And we have a very nice chair that I got us a few years ago from Mother's Day. It's a little rocking double chair. And I love to just sit there and listen. There's birds. Last year there was a little baby fawn. It was so cute. It did look a little freaked out that it was separate from its mother, but it was beautiful, and I watched her for a long time. There's also birds. We have a bird bath in our plot, and we love filling it up and love watching the birds come to it. And the other night, I happened to be on the phone. Yes, I took my phone with me, and I was talking to my garden partner, Barbara, and I was talking to her, and I went, oh, and she said, what? And I said, there is the cutest little bird, and I'm not a bird aficionado. I don't know what kind of bird it was, but it was very small, and it was predominantly yellow with a black part on its head and a little bit of white. And then yesterday I thought I saw what would possibly be the female part of it, and she was black on the top of her with yellow on her breast, her underside. Yeah, really beautiful. And so I told my friend on the phone, I said, oh, there's the prettiest little bird, and I described it. I said, I've never seen this bird out here. You know, it almost looked like it could have been a domestic bird, but the people who know birds, if you know what kind of bird I'm talking about, please call me at 646-727-2914. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on anything having to do with nature. You know, I am just going to talk about it for an hour here. So if you want to weigh in, give me a call. And if anyone's weighing in the chat room, I'm glad that you're there. It's does my heart good. Some of you are just listening online and we don't know who you are, but like I said, you can always pick up the phone and give us a call, definitely. But there's also big, huge blackbirds in our garden. Edgar Allan Poe, he loved the blackbirds, crows. I don't know if they're all crows or what they are, but they're very large. And we have witnessed the blackbirds. They come to our little bird bath, and they have bread in their mouths, and they like to put the bread in the water and then fish it out and eat it. They're so funny. I just really like watching them. And then last night when I was working in the garden, I went there at 5 o'clock, and it was the clouds were over the sun when I went out there. And so I thought, oh, it'll be good. Even though it's 5, it's still pretty hot. I think it hit close to 90 yesterday. And I went out there. And then, of course, as soon as I got to work, the sun came out, and it was really hot. I had my hat on. That was good, but it was hot. In fact, it was so hot one time I stood up and got kind of dizzy. That wasn't good. So I just drank a bunch of water, and then I was feeling okay. And then I kept working, and I worked for several hours because I'm late planting this year, but I did get most everything in, and tonight I'm going to go out there. Right now it's cloudy here. We got a little rain shower, just a few sprinkles a little bit ago. And in Boulder, it's funny because we're at the foothills of the mountains, and so it can look like it is going to rain. But then the clouds just move out east, and maybe the east gets it, or maybe the way east, eastern Colorado gets it. It's just, you just never know. It can look like rain and not rain at all. So I'm going to go out there later today and hopefully get the rest of the work done. And then, of course, there is the ever-present weeding to be done. Oh, gosh, I love that. Not really at all. But it gets me out there, and my garden mate and I, we just take our time with it. You know, the weeds, if we don't get to them all, they'll be there. We usually try to focus on one bed at a time. And right now we have lettuce and spinach and chard and onions and garlic and beets and carrots and squash and peppers and tomatoes, rhubarb, lemon balm, dill. And then at home, in my small little garden, I have lots of flowers planted, some seeds, some flowers. Then I also have a bunch of herbs I planted. I planted, was it lime basil? I think lime basil. I can't wait to see what that's like. Lime basil, basil, cilantro, catnip. No peppermint. I didn't do peppermint. We have peppermint out at our garden. It grows along the fence, kind of outside of the fence. And so mojitos are going to be in my drinks later on this summer, maybe next week. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow. Who knows? I love mojitos. You know, if you don't know how to make them, you can get a recipe on the internet, but you use fresh mint. It's so refreshing, and you can have the alcohol in it or not. Now, another way to enjoy nature is if you go to the farmer's market. Farmer's markets are they're just beautiful. Now, there's lots of activity, so you don't have the stillness of nature, but there is sure the beautiful produce. So, and there's beautiful flowers there. I know my friend Caroline, she posted on Facebook, she'd gotten some beautiful flowers from the farmer's market, and the picture was beautiful. So, you know, if you don't have access to the outside, you know, maybe you are not feeling quite well and you're stuck inside. If you've got your laptop with you or you've got you can find nature shows. You can find nature videos. There's all kinds of ways to be nurtured by nature. So I don't want anyone to tell me there's no way. There's books. There's books on nature. There's just a million ways you can connect with nature. I remember when my son was young, you know, kids know this instinctively, but he would crouch down. I love little kids when they crouch. They are just so cute. And he would crouch down and he would watch ants. And he could do that forever. And sometimes when I've been hiking and we stop for lunch, we might be sitting on a rock and we'll notice a colony of ants. And what's really cool to notice is how cooperative they are and how they will take something that's, you know, 10 times larger than they are, and they will actually move it. Sometimes it takes two of them. Sometimes it just takes one bullheaded little ant to get like this huge leaf over to their, you know, their nest or their anthill. And it's fun to watch them. Or they'll take a seed or a flower or something like that. I love watching them. And my son kind of got me into it first. Hi, Nina.
Hi.
You have something to say?
Well, I was going to give everybody the mojito recipe if they wanted it.
Oh, yes. That sounds lovely.
All right. Get some fresh mint and just crush it up a little bit in the bottom of whatever glass you're going to use. Put in about a teaspoon of honey. If you're going to add liquor, then you would add a shot of rum and club soda. And there you go. It's easy. Oh, and lime, fresh lime. You have to have fresh lime.
Yeah.
And that's your mojito. And we do grow our mint in a container on our deck for the summer months. And then when we can't get it anymore and it stops growing here because you know how short our seasons are. But anyways, then we buy the mint at the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it lasts forever and ever and ever. When you buy it from the farmer's market, because you know you're getting it fresh. Buy it in the stores, it doesn't last so long. But anyways, that's how we do it. And as far as nurturing with nature here, well, you know what a beautiful deck I have.
Yeah.
Jim and I are out there for the three seasons. And it almost makes me cry when the snow starts to fly and I have to come in because I spend all my time out there. And yes, if we live in the city, but we have lots of trees, and we have a bird bath, and lots of flowers. As you know, we have a big flower garden, too. I can just sit back there and watch the birds. And I have squirrels that come to visit every day, too. So it's really remarkable, and you feel so at peace by just sitting there and listening or just being still and laying there or sitting there and just have the quiet when the cars aren't driving by, but I can't see them because I have too many trees, so I don't care.
Yeah,
but you know, you get in touch with yourself.
You do. You definitely do. And I will attest to Nina and Jim's beautiful backyard. They have, on the very far end, they have a beautiful swing, and there's been many pictures taken there. It's absolutely beautiful. Then you have a wonderful deck that they have, and I haven't seen the deck that's been worked on since I've been to visit. And they also have a little fire pit thing. So I could see you being out there in three seasons, definitely, with that, you know, get a nice little fire going and sit there. Maybe have a little blanket on you if it's a little chilly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do that. And, you know, it's just, it's very calming, very peaceful. My house is peaceful, too, but it feels so much better to be outside and just listening or just getting in tune with yourself. And just being calm, and it is, it's calming to be outside. It's calming to be with nature. And everyone, if you can't get out of the city, do like we've done. Make yourself a little corner somewhere. You know, even if you only have a little balcony, add some potted trees or bushes or flowers, and you're with nature then. Just sit quietly and listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm. So I got another quote, and it's, study nature, love nature, stay close to nature. It will never fail you. And then Einstein said, I go to nature every day for inspiration in the day's work. So here's a great mind, a great scientific mind, and he can see the value of nature. In fact, almost everyone I've ever admired will talk about nature and how it's inspiring, grounding, all of that. And I'm not the only one saying this, that's for sure. And most everyone will agree with me. I'm almost positive about that.
Oh, yes, for sure, Lydia. For sure. There's nothing like seeing a big, tall tree and being surrounded by green, and all of a sudden look up and you see an eagle, or you look down and maybe there's a deer running by you. You know, that brings everything back to, wow, isn't this fantastic? And we didn't even have a hand in it. It's there.
Yeah. It is. Now, Nina lives in Edmonton in Alberta, Canada, and it's a beautiful city. In fact, you posted on Facebook a beautiful picture of the Riverwalk there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our river valley is... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just beautiful. She took me on a tour of her city when I was there. And we won't even, well, I will mention going on the tour of the Canadian Rockies, which was breathtakingly, amazingly awe-inspiring, beautiful nature, but also the city. This, you know, most cities realize that you should have nature somewhere, and they usually do a really good job. And Edmonton does a spectacular job on having beautiful parks, with sculpture and fountains. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, and our river valley is absolutely gorgeous, and it goes on forever, well out of town as well. And we have walkways, pathways, actually, through the river valley that you can go walking through. And it's, yeah, you're smack dab in the middle of the city, but boy, do you can see everything in there as far as nature goes. There's all kinds of birds. There's beavers. There's raccoons. There's deer. There's coyotes. There's wolves. There's a little bit of everything going through there. In fact, I believe it was this spring we had a couple of young moose that decided that the river valley wasn't good enough and they needed to go in somebody's backyard. So, of course, the fish and game life came and trotted them back to the nature where they were supposed to be. But, you know, it's awe-inspiring. It's so beautiful, so calming. Get out and just enjoy.
Nurturing. Now, on that path, Nina, do they allow bikes?
They do have, in certain areas, they do allow the bikes as well. But they have to, there's like a yellow line type thing, and that's for the bikes, and then on the other side is for the people, so that way there's no accidents, because there was you know people riding too fast and they go around a corner and they'd be right on a person. So now the bikes have a certain area to go on that sidewalk, and the people have a certain, well, it's not a sidewalk, it's a path, but people have a certain area too. So that has been remarkable, because now nobody gets hurt. Which is
a
darn good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Pardon me?
I highly suggest you go visit Edmonton. It's beautiful. Wave to Nina as you go through it. And, yeah, it is a beautiful city. And I don't know about Edmonton, but I'd almost be willing to bet, because they are a large city, that they probably have a rent-a-bike program there somewhere.
Yeah, they do. I think there's several downtown. Not several. I think there's one downtown. I'm not really too up on things like that, because we have our own bikes, so I've never really checked on it. But I do know that they have the tandem bikes and stuff that you can rent. And certain ones that have the little carriers for the kids on the back, like the little wagons that are all enclosed for the little tiny ones, they have those as well. So, yeah, you can get out. There's no excuse, because babies will fall asleep when you take them for a ride.
Oh, God, they love it. That or on your backs. That was definitely, I mean, it was better than saying it's nap time for my son. Just some movement there, that baby be sleeping. Yeah, otherwise he wanted to see what was happening, but it was the movement and the fresh air that just put him out. He was so sweet. We put him mostly on our back, but I did have a jogging stroller for him for a while and used that. But the reason I mentioned bicycles is because it is some people don't like to walk. I mean, right now my ankle has been really giving me grief. I sprained it twice, and as my neck across the street neighbor said, he said, "Oh, it's so much better to break it." He says a sprain takes way longer to heal than a break, and that's been my experience. It was healing up nicely. When I sprained it again, that seems to put the kibosh on the healing. It's now saying, "Are you going to be nice to me and watch what you're doing or what?" So, like I said last night, I took a headlamp, but I actually just had it in my hand, and I shined it on the path when there were lots of trees when we were in the forest so that I could make sure I wasn't going to trip over anything. So I was good to it. But, boy, that by the time I got home last night, my ankle was crying. So if you don't like to walk or you can't walk at this time, rent a bicycle. In Boulder, we actually have these kiosks or like big bike stations. And I don't know exactly. I've read about it. I think you can rent them with a credit card. You put your credit card in a machine, and then it'll let the bike go, and you can ride all around our city. And we have a lot of bike paths. Most of your big cities do nowadays. Biking is really good for you and a really good mode of transportation. And so there's bike paths to go on. And I don't know about you all, but when I ride a bike, I just connect with that freedom I felt when I was a young girl. And I didn't have a bicycle, but my friend did. And she had this little bitty bicycle because I was probably all of about almost 6 years old. And she'd be called in to dinner, and I'd be still outside, and she would let me use her bicycle. And I taught myself how to ride it. Yeah, did I fall? Oh, yeah. And I don't know why, but I'd always fall rounding a corner, and there was a bush there. So as a kid, I had more scrapes on me than regular skin. But I was determined to learn how to ride that thing. And then when I did, you would have thought I had a Corvette or something. I just felt the thrill of freedom. And so even now, when I ride a bicycle and the wind is going through my hair, I feel that same freedom, and I just love it. So if you don't like to walk, you might want to get out in on a bicycle. That would be awesome. Also, you can also, say you're in a wheelchair. I hope that you're not. But nowadays, there are many paths. I know in Colorado, there are many paths, even up in the mountains, that are wheelchair friendly. I live close to a place called Flagstaff Mountain. And we drive up there, and we have picnics up there every once in a while in the summertime, and then we go on a hike, and they just made the most beautiful trail that's wheelchair friendly. It is absolutely gorgeous with some beautiful views of the city as well as the opposite way of the mountains. And it makes my heart glad that people thought of people that might be in wheelchairs. So, you know, and you can find someone hopefully that will push you to a park, so that you too can enjoy nature because it nurtures you. And as we get older or if we're sick, we need nurturing. You know, I'm glad you have that deck, Nina, because, you know, I bet if you're not feeling all that great, you can just go out there. They have it's like another room in their house, folks. It's absolutely beautiful, but yet it's out in nature. And, you know, you could probably just lay on that couch and have Jim wait on you hand and foot. He'll do that, though. He will.
Yeah, he would. He would do that for me. But then again, after almost 40 years, we kind of do it for each other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, yeah, he's out there right now, so I can be in here in the quiet.
Ah, nice.
And I think from now on, I'm going to be doing the shows from my iPad outside, so you guys are all going to hear nature.
Good, good. Maybe we can hear a really beautiful song of the birds. I read something a little disheartening the other day, and that was that in a lot of areas where a lot of herbicides and pesticides are used, that the birds are not there. You know, they're just not there. So, and I know I railed last week about pesticides, but, you know, if you want nature to be around, you know, you might want to think twice about using them on your lawn. And just, you know, you can do a lot of other things. There's Mina posted for me a wonderful natural pesticide, and I'm forgetting, I know it had to do with dish soap and, I'm forgetting the rest of it. But
I think vinegar and water or something, wasn't it, Lydia?
Yeah.
Wasn't it vinegar in there too? Yeah.
Yeah, I think vinegar was. And so, you know, but you could Google that and probably come up with a lot of different things. But I love the birds, and the birds in our neighborhood have been very loud. And I think I remarked last week, and I will again probably next week, but the birds were just, they've been singing their little hearts out. And that's nature, and I hear it, and I just love it. It's beautiful, and I can sleep through everything. They start very early in the morning. Like, I'm not talking sunrise. I'm talking well before sunrise, like 3 and 4 in the morning. They'll start chirping their little hearts out, and it doesn't bother me. But sometimes I'm up that late at night, so I hear them, and I'm like going, uh-oh, it's going to be, you know, getting light out. I better get to bed. But, yeah, nature and butterflies. Oh, my gosh. Have you watched a butterfly? Lately?
Oh, yeah.
They're so beautiful. When we were at the botanical gardens, there was this beautiful iridescent blue butterfly.
Mm.
And my little friend Stella and I just watched it. It would open its wings and close its wings. And she just wanted, she's almost four, but she just wanted to stand there and watch it. And that's the beauty of nature. You know, if you're not getting your kids out in nature, you are really missing out on valuable lessons for children, the fresh air, which makes them tired. And it's just so good for them. I was the type of mom that always had what my son needed to go out in the fresh air at school or camp or whatever. You know, he had the sunscreen. He had the hat in the summertime. He had the water bottle. He had a little bit of fresh fruit, so that he could get re-energized if the sun was too much. And in the wintertime, he had full riot gear for snow and cold. And sometimes I'd come to pick him up, and they said, oh, we didn't go, and boots. Anyway, they'd say, we didn't go out today. And I'd go, oh, why? And they'd be like, well, some of the kids didn't have their winter gear. And I just would shake my head, because my son needed to get out in the fresh air. Most kids do. And not just on the way to the car. They need to walk in it. They need to run in it. They need to see it and be around it, because it is so nurturing. And our young people really, really, they hunger for it. You know, you can't get them inside. You know, we were lucky when I was a kid, even growing up in Chicago, I played outside the whole time. When school was in session, from after school until it got dark. And in the summertime, literally, I hardly ever went home. I'd go out in the morning. I didn't come back until the streetlights were on. And I lived on the third floor, but I had friends. My good girlfriends would, they lived on the first floor, and they had really cool parents, and so they would let me go into their house to use the bathroom, or, you know, we'd go there and get a snack or something. But really and truly, there were some days I didn't make it home for 12 hours from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning till close to 9 o'clock at night. I ran the neighborhood, and it was great for me. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, there's a lot of neighborhoods that are just not safe. And that breaks my heart, because I really believe that kids need that nature. They need the sports. A lot of times nowadays will do the same thing for them. They'll be out in a park playing soccer or baseball or something like that. So they do get nature. And I see that's where the new families, you know, the new world that's not as safe to have your kid running around outside without supervision is going these days is more towards the sports end. But that works too, because they're learning teamwork, they're learning running, they're having all that running around. I remember my son, he was in T-ball, and he was the kid that was out in the field, crouched down, looking at a flower, usually a dandelion, or looking at something in the grass, hopping around or whatever, you know, and the balls would be flying over his head, and he was completely oblivious. They'd be yelling, "Patrick, Patrick," you know, but he was into looking at the nature, and the T-ball got him out there, which was good. Luckily, we lived in a neighborhood that was safe enough for him to mostly, when he was young, be unsupervised, you know, when he was about six. When he was about, actually, it was closer to seven, I started letting him walk about a half a block down to his friend's house. Usually I'd stand on the street and look at him. But it's a very safe neighborhood, and I'm really glad for that. We have a lot of kids now. Young families are moving back into the neighborhood, and I love the sound of kids screaming in awe of nature, or screaming because their brother, you know, hit them with the ball, or to me it goes with nature. I just really like that, and I feel for people that are irritated by young children's screams, because to me it's just a sign of life. And if they're enjoying outside and enjoying nature, then I'm a happy mama. Even though I don't have all of, you know, my son is 21, so you know, I don't get to hear him scream and glee with nature, but. Yeah,
you do if you call me. You can always call me and hear them doing that.
Oh yes, and I hear Nina takes care of kids, and I can hear them screaming with glee in the background. It's wonderful. I enjoy it. It tickles me. I love that. You know, it's like the music. It's like a strange music to me.
It is. It is.
Uh-huh.
And it puts a smile on your face, too. And, you know, when you hear children laughing or screaming because they saw a butterfly or a worm or an ant, whatever the case may be, it also brings a smile to your face because you remember back to your childhood and discovering all of these things that we now take for granted, but these kids love.
Oh, God, yes. You know, and when I would hire babysitters for my son, I would tell them right off the bat that, you know, my son was not the type that you could plunk down in front of the television and do your thing. I said, this is very hands-on, and I want you, if it's at all possible, to go out in the neighborhood, go to the park, go to a pool, because my son loves swimming, or the lake. We have a Boulder Reservoir here. But I want you to be outside. And he had some of the most amazing sitters. In fact, some of them are still in my life and listen to the show. Sarah, you know who you are. And it just was very important to me that my son get that. And I would tell them, I said, my son is very smart. He was very precocious as a young lad, and I would say explain whatever you know. If you know the name of a flower, explain that. If you know why ants live in an anthill, explain that. If you see a bird, you know, flying and you know the name of the bird, you know, so that. Get him to listen, you know, sometimes go shh and listen to a bird singing. All of my sitters were going to college and were intelligent in their own right, and I asked them to teach my son, and it really paid off because my son tested, his vocabulary tested higher than the test would go, higher than a 17-year-old's when he was 6 years old. So he learned a lot. He still has that brain like a sponge, and he can remember things really well. So I know there's information that Sarah and others gave my son that he still holds with him today, but it was important to me that they take him out in nature. And my husband, God bless his hairy toes, he loves nature too, and that's why when I said last night, hey, let's go for a hike, he's like, great. And then I told him where I wanted to go, and he's like, are you sure you're going to be okay? Because I've been having this ankle issue. And I said, you know, I just want to push it. I want to go up there. I want to be out. I want to be in the middle of the forest and that, and watch the moon. And that's what I wanted to do. And so we went up there, and it was so beautiful. And luckily, my husband married me because I love nature so much. And I think what sealed the deal on our marriage was that I love to camp. I really love camping. And when you camp, what you do usually when you're not just sitting around, boy, do you guys hear that that thunder? Thundering.
Oh, yeah.
Here. So, yeah, it's really thundering here. But it's going to thunder, and I will be lucky if we get some drops of rain from it. But anyway, when that I love to camp, and when you're camping, you're either lying in the hammock, reading, cooking, sitting by the fire, or hiking. And my husband's middle name should be Mike the Hike Pello, because he loves to hike. He's got those long legs, and he just loves to hike. He's really good. And it's really great when we hike together, because we hike together for a little bit, and then my husband has those long legs, and he hikes ahead, and then he waits for me, or he sees something kind of cool, and then he'll wait for me and go, hey, did you see that, or look at that, and then he hikes ahead. So I have a lot of alone time when I'm hiking, and I work stuff out. It's like a meditation for me, walking or hiking. And then when you put me in nature, it just adds to that meditative quality and getting in touch with who I really, really am. And that is love. Yep. And I can go from worry to love in, you know, 10 minutes of being out in nature. It's great for my soul. Yep.
Great for anybody's soul.
Oh, great for everybody's soul. So,
yep.
You know, get out there. If you need an excuse, grab a young kid, not any young kid, but, you know, one that you know, maybe it's your child, or it's your sister's child, or your grandchild, or whoever, and get them out to nature. You know, bring a wagon and take them down to the farmer's market. And, you know, when they get tired, they can go in the wagon. They can help picking out the veggies. You know, I used to teach my son in the produce aisle or the farmer's market. I would point out beautiful vegetables, and I'd say, oh, look at those. This is before I had a garden. Didn't have a garden when my son was small, not a vegetable garden. I had a flower garden. But so I would point out different vegetables. He knew all the names of the vegetables. When he was like 5 years old, maybe even four, he knew all of them, you know, zucchini, eggplant, even the weird ones, jicama. He knew them all because I would at the grocery store, you know, let's face it, kids can act up because a lot of times you're going to the grocery store when you're tired or before dinner time, so you're hungry. And kids don't do well when they're hungry or tired. They get cranky. And so they're like, I want that, I want this, and then they have a fit or whatever. But if you employ kids to do something, like you can say, I used to tell my son, I'd say, you know, will you pick out the carrots, you know, and he would go there and he would pick out the carrots, or, you know, will you pick me out 2 apples? And I taught him how to pick out good apples, you know, the ones that have really deep indentations on the bottom of them are usually pretty crisp. And, of course, we didn't pick out apples now. We picked out apples in their season, in the fall. You can also pick out, I taught him how to pick out Fuji apples, which used to be all from New Zealand, and New Zealand is opposite. So their fall is our spring. So, you know, I would get New Zealand apples in the spring because, you know, I like them crisp. You know, mealy apples just don't do it for me at all. They got to be crisp, folks. But, oh, I know, I didn't mention that you can look at your plate. If you have a beautiful salad, take a minute to look at it. Before the show, I decided I needed a pick-me-up, and so I juiced some carrots, some beets, some kale, some beet greens, and an apple. But I had them all lying on the cutting board, and my God, they were beautiful. They were absolutely gorgeous. And I stood there for a couple minutes, and I looked at them and just admired that they were beautiful. And I thanked the farmers for growing them because they were not from my garden. And then I juiced them and drank them, and it gave me a lot of energy. So I hope that maybe from this show, it will put the bug in your ear to get outside. Do something outside. Do something that nurtures you. That's my hope. How about you, Nina? You got any last thoughts on nature, nurturing with nature?
Nothing further other than, like you said, get outside, even if it's just on your deck or patio or whatever, or go for a walk. Just enjoy it. Go to a park. Sit in a swing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Be a kid again. Love it. I do have a couple quotes here that I copied down. Nature often holds up a mirror so we can see more clearly the ongoing processes of growth, renewal, and transformation in our lives. That was by Mary Ann Doucette. And when I wrote that, I thought of when I was grieving for my mother, I felt when I got out in nature, it just reminded me of those things and gave me peace. And I really felt my mother being in nature. And my mother, you know, she was legally blind the last few years, well, about the last 20 years of her life. And but we would drive in the car and she'd go, "Oh, I see the flowers." And she'd say, "Are those purple flowers over there?" And I'd go, "They sure are, Mom." She had peripheral vision, and she could spot a flower. I would wheel her around her neighborhood, and she enjoyed nature till her very last breath. I know she did. We always had flowers in her room, and it really, she loved that. She loved her flowers. So there's one more quote, and then we're going to get to what's coming up on the Essence of Success Network. But this is from Lao Tzu, and that is, "Returning to the source is stillness, which is the way of nature. The way of nature is unchanging. Knowing constancy is insight." Yeah, so it's insightful. We got to be in that stillness, and nature will bring you right to it, folks. So I hope that you get out in nature. Send us an email. Tell us how you got out in nature. Drop me a line. Friend me on Facebook and under Time to Love, and I will see you there. But coming up, we have quite a few shows. If you don't know, the Essence of Success is the network that Time to Love is on, and we have some very empowering, uplifting, inspirational shows on our on this network. It's a network owned by a woman, Lenis, and run by women. In fact, Nina is our manager, and it's all woman network, and it just happened to be that way. And so that's our thing. And tomorrow we have Lenis's show at 3:00. It's the Psychic Hour. So please tune into that. Is she still running that special, Nina?
Yes, she is. Every ninth caller will get a free one-hour reading with Lenis. So call in, folks. I keep warning you that I'm going to call until I'm the ninth caller, and so does Brenda. Well, this week we are doing it, so you better call in and get in there before we do.
Ninth caller, people, and, you know, it's insightful. To hear, you know, maybe you have a question. Maybe you're wondering about a loved one. Actually, Lenis gave me a lot of peace talking about my mom after my mom passed. And it's just good. And I highly recommend it. It's free if you're the ninth caller, so call on in there. You can also call Lenis on her show and ask her one question. But a reading, you could ask quite a few questions, as long as it's an hour reading, so you'd have quite a bit of time with one. Go for it. Okay, and then we've got Monday. Monday is our show, Nina, myself, and Brenda, the LNB Passage to Empowerment. And we're going to go to 8:00. This is Pacific time this week. And
7.
We are doing a 7?
Yeah. 7
oh,
p.m.
Yes, 7
Pacific time.
8:00, my 7 p.m. Pacific time, so then it'll be 8 o'clock to me. Okay, good. I'm going to have to get used to saying that, but yeah, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and it's Passage to Empowerment. We're doing a three-part series on empowerment, and Monday night at 7 Pacific time will be Unleashing Your Power. Ooh, yeah. What's that going to be about? Well, I'm not going to tell you because
it's women unleashing. It's women unleashing their power.
Yeah, we'll even do a men's thing. So you men, just stay tuned. Right now, Mother Nature is unleashing her power with a lot of thunder if you hear some rumbling in the background. And then we've got Tuesday. Tuesday is BYO Brilliance with Brenda Berry. And Brenda is going to be talking about, I'm not sure, do you know?
I am. Brilliance of belonging, of belonging to a club or an organization or whatever, and what that means to you and what it does for you.
You know, it is so amazing because I had read, in fact, I have to call Brenda about this. I had read a book. I've been reading this book, Flight Behavior, by Barbara Kingsolver. A lot of nature in that book, too, and a lot of descriptions. And she talks in the back, you know, the Q&A section sometimes books have, she talks about belonging to a community, and I read that, and then the next morning I read that Brenda's going to do this show, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so psychic, it's crazy. All three of us really are. Nina is too, very psychic. Okay, so that's Tuesday, and that's at 6 o'clock
Pacific 6 p.m. Pacific, yep.
Yeah, and then on Wednesday we have In the Studio with Lennis. And is that also at 6 o'clock?
It's at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
7 p.m. Pacific time.
Yep.
Then Thursday we have Filmcology. What is Brenda doing this week?
It's called The Professional. It's about a hitman who ends up with this little girl. And they become friends and learn to love each other. So it's quite a good movie. So if you get a chance, please watch it and join Brenda in the discussion on The Professional.
Yeah, and if you're at our website, Brenda always puts links up. And even if you don't get a chance to watch the whole movie, there's different links, and you can probably watch parts of it. Sometimes she has a link to the whole movie. But it's such an interesting mix, the psychology and the film. So that's how she got the word Filmcology. And it's always a lively discussion, and I'm sorry I missed Ghosts of Mississippi. That was last week, and it coincided with, what's his name? I'm sorry, I'm spacing out his name. Civil rights activist.
Medgar
Evans, yes. Thank
That's
you.
It,
I
yeah.
could not think of the first name. But and I missed it because I had a meeting. But that is at 6 o'clock Pacific time on Thursday. Filmcology, folks. You can also go to the archives. It's so interesting. Say there's nothing on television, which it's summer, folks. There's nothing on television. So you can, maybe you've got something to do. Maybe you're working in the kitchen or you're cleaning house. You can go to The Essence of Success on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to the archives on any of our shows. We have some really great ones. Then Friday, we have Traffic Jam with Lennis, and she has extended it to an hour, and she has quite an eclectic taste. In fact, I see her list from yesterday, and she's got was it like a 70s?
No, it
80s?
Was classic rock.
Classic rock. Well, and mostly from the 70s. She's got Peter Frampton. She's got Kiss, Heart, The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Foreigner, Grand Funk, Creedence Clearwater, Steve Miller. So, you know, I bet that was a great show. I'm going to have to turn that on when I'm cooking some evening and need something really good to listen to. So
it was
and
fun.
Then
We were jamming.
I bet you were. I know you were. Cause take a look at this lineup. So also, then next Saturday will be Love and Marriage on Time to Love, and I'm dedicating it to my nephew, Kevin, and his beautiful bride, Samantha, who will be getting married next Saturday, and I'm going to have to figure out how to start my show and do it. I might do it blind. I might just have my phone and maybe somebody can help me with that, like Nina probably. Thank you, Nina.
No, actually Brenda is going to do that for you because I will also be at a wedding next Saturday, only I'll be the photographer at this wedding. So Brenda is going to run the studio for you and I will be taking pictures.
Awesome. And I will be just reflecting on love and marriage, and I might put out a survey just asking people if they had one piece of advice for a newlywed, and don't say don't do it, folks, because by the time of my show, Kevin and Samantha will be married, and one piece of advice for them. You may want to fill out my survey, and maybe I'll think of something that I can do for you if you fill out my survey. So look for that on Facebook. And
I will be filling that out, Lydia, because I will have some grand ideas for that. And mostly because as of tomorrow, Jim and I will be married for 40 years. So I think I have a little bit of insight into that. So I'm going to do that survey for sure.
All right, and you know you do, and 40 years tomorrow. So I am wishing you a very, very wonderful anniversary. I know Jim always makes you feel special, and I know that you return that favor because Nina and Jim are very nurturing people, and it's probably because they spend so much time in nature. I don't know, but they're a wonderful couple, and I'm sure they'll have wonderful things to say, and I'll be married this year at 28 years, so I have some information for them, and like I said, I'm going to talk about, partnership and what that means, whether you choose to legally get married or just live together. It's some really great lessons come of that. So I'll be talking about that next Saturday. So until next Saturday, I'm going to end with my show. I want to thank Nina. Thank you, Nina, for being there. I appreciate you very, very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I'd like to thank Lennis for keeping me company in the chat room. And remember, folks, the chat room is always open during all of our shows. Either I am there or one of us other ladies are in there. So pop in. If you don't want to talk live on air, pop in there and I'll pass the question on for you.
Thank you, Lennis. You guys have a great rest of the weekend. Enjoy your anniversary. And I'm going to end with my favorite song, one of them anyway. So folks, love on someone, and make sure that someone is yourself. Get out in nature. Till next week. See you later. Bye.